Somebody, maybe we're having to study in college, maybe whatever it is we're doing right now, we know that there's something more powerful that we were made for. And there's maybe several reasons for that. Sometimes it may be our fault that we're being negligent with our lives or irresponsible. There's all kinds of different reasons, but maybe sometimes, I just want to encourage you, with God might be saying, just wait. Just wait. There's going to come a time where power is going to come on you and you're going to do great things, but for now, just wait. I have a plan. And that's what God, that's what Jesus told his disciples here. He says, just wait. Just wait in Jerusalem. You're going to receive this powerful Holy Spirit. And then later in chapter 1, the disciples asked Jesus, they said, are you now going to restore your kingdom to Jerusalem? And he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's a powerful statement in a world that God himself has split up by mixing languages and causing nations. And Jesus says, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And then the next chapter, we get Pentecost, which has already been talked about this morning. Here's how it happened at Pentecost. We can just read it. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. So now, Jesus has fulfilled that promise to them. He said, wait here until you receive this powerful Holy Spirit. Well, now they've received it, and God does something for the second time. He starts to make people speak in languages that they weren't speaking a second ago. And here's what happened this time. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. This is just, watch this. This is amazing. When they heard this sound, a crowd, what did the crowd do? Came together. When they heard this sound, just remember that. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they ask, aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? In Genesis, the crowd was dispersed in bewilderment. At the Tower of Babel, the crowd was separated in bewilderment. But here in Acts, the crowd came together in bewilderment. God is saying, I'm doing a reverse Babel here. I'm going to undo the Tower of Babel. And this time, you're coming together to build a far greater tower. This time you're coming together to bring fame to a far greater name. And so to this day, all over the world, in every language, people this morning are proclaiming the name of Jesus. And that is the kingdom that we belong to. Above any other kingdom, above any other nation that we belong to, and we should have pride in our nation. We should be proud to be Americans, but above and beyond that, we are part of the nation that God started here in Acts chapter 2 when he brought people together by having them speak everybody's language to proclaim the name of Jesus. That's the kingdom that we're a part of this morning. And then the text goes on, Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Okay, I want to just talk about a few things that the Holy Spirit gives us, a few things that this promise of the Holy Spirit does for us, and it would take a 2 or 3 month series to really, that's what the Holy Spirit deserves. And so there's things that I'm not going to talk about. The Holy Spirit groans to God on our behalf. I'm not going to talk about that because I just don't have time. And the Holy Spirit blesses us with gifts of service in our community. And I'm not going to go into that much. And the Holy Spirit heals us physically. I'm not going to go into that much, but I just had to choose some. And so the first thing I want to point out is that the Holy Spirit gives us power. Two of the times that Jesus said, just wait, you're going to get the Holy Spirit, he said, power will come from you, will come to you. In Luke 24:49 and Acts 1:8, we've already looked at those. Jesus says, power will come to you. The first time that the Holy Spirit is seen in the Bible is the second sentence of the Bible. And here it is. It says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And Steve taught you a little Hebrew this morning. I wasn't going to, but I will now, because Steve did. So this is really one of the only Hebrew phrases I know. I don't know much Hebrew, but I just remember this one. It just sticks in my brain. And that is the Hebrew for formless and empty. When the Bible says, now the earth was formless and empty, in its original language, that was tohu wabohu. And the reason I remember that is because you don't have to be a Hebrew scholar or know much Hebrew to know that tohu wabohu is terrible, because it just sounds bad. You don't want to go to the foot doctor and be told, I'm sorry, you have a terrible case of tohu wabohu. Or if you go eat Japanese food, you're not going to order tohu wabohu. It just sounds bad. You don't want any part of it. I did not name my two kids tohu and bohu. It's just awful. In fact, the Bible describes formless and empty as the worst thing. Tohu wabohu as the worst thing. It's the opposite of everything God is. God is form and substance. And formless and empty is a lack of form and a lack of substance. And so God and tohu wabohu cannot coexist in the same place. And so we have two forces at work here. We have tohu wabohu and we have the Spirit of God hovering. And at that point, an epic battle took place that we call creation. A fight between the Spirit of God and tohu wabohu, and formless and emptiness started to be undone as God created this world. And that exact same power that created the world, the power that when God said, let there be light, there was light, that power lives in you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that power lives in you. Here's two passages from the New Testament. But if the same power of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And then in Ephesians, Paul, here, I'm going to put it up in a second, but it's like starts mid-sentence because Paul is saying, I hope that you receive this from God. And I hope you receive this from God. And I pray that you receive this from God. And he says, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. This promise of the Holy Spirit is, as I said at the very beginning, a life-changing, world-altering promise that God's Spirit of creation, Spirit of resurrection, would live in you. And maybe you are in a very difficult family situation. And do you know that the Holy Spirit, the powerful Holy Spirit, lives in you? The Spirit that said, let there be light, and there was light, that Spirit lives in you in that difficult family situation. Or maybe you're in a very difficult job situation, or a very difficult financial situation, or maybe you struggle with a sin. And you don't have the power to live in those circumstances yourself, to struggle with that sin, to deal with your finances, to deal with your circumstances of life, but the power of God lives inside of you and deals with it for you. The next thing that we get from the Holy Spirit is access. The Holy Spirit gives us access to God. It used to be a scary thing to approach the throne of God. In the Old Testament, Moses would climb a mountain and speak to God and come down, and they couldn't even look at Moses' face because it was too bright when he came down from the mountain. He had to put a veil over his face to tell the people what God had just said. And one time, God said to Moses, hey, tell the people I'm going to come and talk to them myself. And he did that. And when he was done, the people said, don't ever let that happen again. You keep going up and talking to God, but don't ever let him do that again, talk to us himself. It used to be a very scary thing to approach the throne room of God. But Jesus became one of us. so that we didn't have to go to God Almighty, this holy presence that we can't be around. God became us. And then Jesus said, I'm going to put God in you. So through the Holy Spirit, we have access, free access to God, so that we can come here this morning and sing, and God is in this room hearing it. The Bible says he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. If you feel like you're far away from God, if you feel like you're close to God, it is no longer a scary thing to enter the throne room of God. The next thing the Holy Spirit gives us is the Holy Spirit marks us as gods. You have been marked as one of God's. And people will try to label you all kinds of things. People will say you're good at this or you're not good at this. This is what you should do. This is what you shouldn't do. This is the family you're from. This is who you are. People will try to say that. But if you have the Holy Spirit in you, that's who you are. You are God's. That's who you are. A couple of days ago, we had schedule pickup at the school I work at. And it's always just very interesting to see parents and kids, they both have the same reaction. Parents and kids will come and get their schedule. And there's a few teachers at every school, including mine, there's a few teachers that as soon as they get their schedule, they just want to see if they have those teachers. And they don't care about the whole rest of their schedule. Doesn't matter. They don't care about the rest of it. If they have that teacher, yes, I've got that teacher, or man, I don't have that teacher. Does the Holy Spirit in you mean that much to you? That I don't care what anybody else knows about me. I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. I'm God's because I have the Holy Spirit in me. Ephesians 1:13 says, when you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And then 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, he anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And the last thing that I'm going to talk about this morning, again, this is not an exhaustive list of what we get from the Holy Spirit, not at all, but the Holy Spirit guides us. And this is my favorite, my personal favorite thing that the Holy Spirit does, that the Holy Spirit guides us. At the church, I go to the Hills Church of Christ, and a few weeks ago, right now, our preacher, Rick Ashley, is in the middle of a series called The Bible Doesn't Say That, about things that we always hear and think that the Bible says, but the Bible doesn't really say it. And a couple of weeks ago, he did a sermon about the Bible does not say to just follow your heart. In fact, the Bible contradicts that statement quite often. Our hearts can lead us to very bad, wrong places. So there's a lot of passages of Scripture about the Holy Spirit guiding us, but I'm going to go to one that we sang about a second ago, Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit, because here's what I love about, one thing I love about the Holy Spirit. I was born as an offspring of two very imperfect people. And I love them to death, but they were very imperfect people. And I have two kids who were born as an offspring from two very imperfect people. Especially that me. Casey's giving me a look there. Very imperfect people. And so I received some genetics from my parents. By nature, I have a terrible temper. And by nature, I worry a lot. By nature, my kids will get some things from me that are not from God, that God does not intend for their lives. And God says, you are not capable of living the life that I want you to live because you're an imperfect person. And so I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you, and you're not going to live by your own genetics, and you're not going to follow your heart. You're going to live by the genetics of me. You aren't Robert and Verna Smith's son, Landon. You are God's son. And those are the genetics you get. And so the Holy Spirit guides us like this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you have that guidance from the Holy Spirit where you don't do whatever you want because there is a greater genetic force inside of you? Are you marked as God's? Do you feel like you have that great access to God, that unscary access to God? Have you received a power from God to allow you to live through the impossible circumstances of your life through God's power? I hope so, but if you don't think you have, I hope you find somebody to talk to. I hope you receive Jesus in baptism. And I just pray that you will receive that promised Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray now. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for everything you've done this morning. Thank you for the free access to you and worship that we've had. God, thank you for all the prayers that have taken place this morning and how unscary it is to approach you and pray. God, thank you for the end of summer, the start of school, and for the prayers that took place this morning regarding that. God, I ask that you help us to take your Holy Spirit into our schools, that we take a power from you into our schools and give you access to those school buildings through us. God, I ask that you help us throughout this week to receive your Holy Spirit, to hear from you, to live in you, and God, to have power from you that can only come from you. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.